Welcome to Beach Grassroots, a monthly podcast highlighting nonprofits of the North Oregon and South Washington coastal region. This production is a collaboration with the Astoria Co-op's Change for Community program. You can learn more about Change for Community and the organizations it supports at astoria.coop. I'm Emily Hoard, the host of this show and the marketing director at Astoria Co-op. Today, I'm speaking with South Pacific County Humane Society, the only animal shelter in South Pacific County, Washington.
I'm Heidi Dowell, current board president of the South Pacific County Humane Society.
And I'm Cindy Cochran, the immediate past president of the board for the South Pacific County Humane Society.
Could you give an overview about your organization?
So we are a small shelter located in Long Beach, Washington, and we're the only shelter in South Pacific County. We are a no-kill shelter, which means we do not euthanize for space or length of stay. We are a 501c3 not-for-profit organization, and we receive absolutely no government funding for our support. Most of our financial support comes from the community through donations.
Could you provide some examples of stories that highlight the mission in action?
Yeah, so our shelter deals with cats and dogs. We both adopt and help the local community. So, for example, in 2025, we adopted out about 123 cats, around 80 dogs, and we took in over 200 strays. And luckily, of those strays, we were able to reunite about 70 of them with their families. So that's always fun. We also run a low-income spay-neuter program for our community. So members of the Long Beach Peninsula can come to the shelter and get a voucher to help reduce some of the costs. We have a community pet food bank, so people can come and get food when they need it for their pets. And then we do fun things with the community, like we partner with the local elementary school for a program we call Wags and Words, which is where the kids come and read to the dogs and cats, which is always a fun day. And also we have a senior community that comes and cuddles cats about once a month, and that's always really fun too.
Yeah. I'm going to take this opportunity, since we have an audience here, to share a recent story of one of the adoptions and one of the pets that we've helped. So 2 years ago, May of 2023, there was a very malnourished puppy that was tied to a tree branch at our Seaview Beach Approach, and he had been out there for a couple days. So finally, one nice person actually brought him to the shelter, and he was emaciated. He was just in really rough shape. So we started feeding, giving him water, and unfortunately, he vomited everything that we tried to feed him. So we got him to the vet, and he did indeed have an esophageal abnormality, which prevented food from entering his stomach. So it had to be corrected by surgery. So surgery was scheduled for the next month. So we had to keep this poor puppy alive for a month. So what we had to do is we had to fashion a chair, if you will, and have him sit vertically in this chair in an upright position like a human would. And we had to feed him a very, very, very liquid diet through a syringe 5 times a day. He had his surgery, and it was a success. And so at that point, he was able to eat like the other dogs around, which was great. So we started to, after he recovered from his surgery, we started acclimating him to the shelter, getting him play dates with other dogs, getting him used to people. He was growing because he was a puppy. So finally, almost a year after he made it to our doors, he did find a forever home with a gentleman who actually lives in Astoria. So it was a happy ending. We went from a dog who was probably days, if not a week or so away from dying, to a very happy, adoptable, loving dog in a new home. So that's the stories that keep us coming back every day and doing what we do.
And one of the things I like to think about Stevie's story is the lengths that we go to as our very small shelter is his surgery wasn't, we had to take him to Portland, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we couldn't even do the surgery there. So then another volunteer had to drive him there and, sit through the surgery and then come back with him. So And then a story about a cat that is more recent is we had a member of the community bring us one of her pets that she realized was so sick beyond her ability to care for her, either by her time or her resources. And Greta, the cat, had very bad infections in both of her eyes. So we tried by partnering with the local vet in Seaview, Oceanside Veterinary Hospital, to start with the least invasive cure for her first, trying to, even though she was already probably completely blind, but we wanted to try and save her eyes. So volunteers and staff tried for about 2 weeks with the least invasive way to help her, but turned out that wasn't going to work. So eventually she did have to have her eyes removed, but she is now currently living a happy, healthy, all nine of her lives on a sunny windowsill at the shelter. And she's one of the first cats to come up and purr and want to have pets and everything. So she's going to have a wonderful life.
Yep. And she's available for adoption.
Yes.
Oh, those are really great stories. Yeah. Thanks for sharing.
We have a lot more, but no time.
Right.
So, but yeah, those are the kind of stories. If you ask any volunteer from the shelter, that's why we're there. I mean, it's really tough to see some of these pets come in the way they do. But then when you see them be adopted, it makes it all worth it. So it's a great experience.
I think a lot of people will come to our window and say, oh, I could never volunteer at the shelter. I would want to take every single one of them home. And I always say, maybe in the beginning, but then at the end, what's the most fun is you're creating new families mm-hmm. and you're making space for the next pet to come in.
Yep.
And it's just really, really fun.
Yep, it is that.
And gratifying, yeah.
Yep.
Could we go into your personal connection and why you got involved and what's kept you going?
Sure. So I moved out to the Long Beach Peninsula about 5 years ago, and I was about 6 months away from retiring. So when we moved out here, it's like, okay, I'm going to need something to do. I can't just sit and watch TV or read books all day. So I, you know, was familiar with the shelter at that time because we had donated to the shelter in the past. So I filled out an application to become a dog walker because I love dogs. I don't have one. A way to exercise and do good at the same time. So as cliche-y as that sounds, that's what it was. And so I filled out the volunteer application and started walking dogs and honestly haven't looked back. And dog walking has evolved in so many other things that I now do at the shelter, which is wonderful. But yeah, that's how I became involved.
My story is really very similar to Heidi's, but I started as a cat cuddler, adopted a cat, then started working at the front desk, which is the most fun I have. Then I adopted another cat, and now we're up to four cats. But anyway, so I got into fundraising and was invited to be on the board of directors, and just it fills my days, and it's just really, really a fun thing to do. I would encourage everybody to volunteer.
Yep.
With us or with someone else.
Yeah, definitely. There is generally something there for everybody if people are thinking of volunteering. You can volunteer an hour a month, an hour a week, an hour a day. We will take any volunteer time you're willing to give, if people are willing to give us. So
there's so many things to do. Laundry, dishes, sweeping the floors, but then fun, you know, just cuddling cats and walking the dogs or playing with the dogs. And
how many volunteers do you have?
I think it's hard to calculate because, like Heidi said, we have some people that just come like once a month, but it's in the 65 range.
Something right, like that, 65 yeah. to 70 probably yeah. at any given time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we have people that are here full-time on the peninsula, and they come rather frequently. And then we have others that have just a part-time house there, you know, that maybe during the summer or on weekends, and they'll come in and put an hour of time in. So it runs the gamut, so which is really great. We will support anybody that wants to come and help us.
Mm-hmm. Could you tell me about the needs of the organization right now, volunteer or financial or otherwise?
Well, I'll start with the money. And then turn it over to Cindy. So money is always great. You know, if you want to send a check in the mail, come to our window, go online, we can always use money. It pays our staff, small staff salary, dog food, cat food, everything, you know, that we require. So, and it's also the most flexible way to give because then we can take those funds and earmark them to where we actually need the money. So it's really great. But we take other stuff.
Well, I was going to say too, because it does cost us about $30,000 a month mm-hmm. just to keep the shelter open. We also need all kinds of weird stuff, like paper towels, toilet paper, dog food, cat food for our community cat food, pet food bank. We will take any variety brand of dog food or cat food. So a lot of people will come up to the window and be like, my dog won't eat this anymore. Will you take it? And so we do. And that's always a good way to get rid of stuff. We laundry soap, cat toys, dog toys.
Dog treats.
Oh, we go through tons of dog treats. Yep. So there's lots of different ways to give. It just depends on what people's comfort level is. Mm-hmm. And one thing I always encourage people to do is if you have something that you'd like, that you think might be useful for the shelter or really for any volunteer organization, please call them first to make sure, because there are some things that we can't take or won't be able to use.
Volunteers. We always need volunteers.
Yes.
The most important thing, as we kind of alluded to, we volunteers do almost everything at the shelter besides hands-on care of the animals. But we always need people to work our front desk. So if you're a person who likes to work with the public, this might be a place to volunteer, because we always need people to work our front desk, handle adoptions, you know, take in donations, etc. As Cindy mentioned earlier, cat cuddling. We love it when volunteers come in and just sit with our cats and play with them for, you know, 15 minutes, an hour, whatever you can offer up. It just helps socialize the cats and gets them used to different people. We always need dog walkers. At any given time, we probably have 10 to 15 dogs, and we do get the dogs out twice a day to walk, 7 days a week. So it requires a lot of volunteers to make that happen. If you're not up to walking dogs but still like to spend time with dogs, we will set you up in a room just to cuddle and play with them, or hang out with them and give them treats. So, you know, there's, like I said, we'll find any way to use whatever time you give us. Laundry. As you can imagine, we do a lot of laundry at that facility. Blankets, towels, toys, dog beds, cat beds, you name it, it goes through that laundry. We are doing laundry every day. So if you're maybe don't want to deal with the general public but still want to help, we have a great secluded laundry room where you can sit and just do laundry as long as you want.
Right.
Fundraising. We always, since I mentioned earlier, almost all of our funding comes from individual donations from people. So we do, unfortunately, have to do a lot of fundraising to keep the shelter going. So we're always looking for ideas or hands-on to help with different fundraising activities. Facilities maintenance. We always use hands to help around the building and grounds. So we've got a good group of volunteers that are dedicated to do that, but they can always use help because it's not a new building, so it does require maintenance.
I mean, we also are always looking for people who are familiar with writing grants or looking for different ways to fundraise, but writing grants is kind of a whole different skill set.
What is the contact information and other information that you want people to know?
Well, our website is beachpets.com, so you can find all of our information there, between anywhere from cats and dogs that are adoptable to volunteer opportunities to upcoming events, etc. Our phone number at the shelter is 360-642-1180.
I'm just going to say our email, because it's easier to say it this way, is info@beachpets.com.
You've tuned in to KMUN. This production is Beach Grassroots, a collaboration with the Astoria Co-op's Change for Community program. Let's get back to my conversation with Heidi Dowell and Cindy Cochran from South Pacific County Humane Society.
Yeah, so I could speak to the history a little bit. There was a group of people on the peninsula who, in the 80s, there was nothing. We didn't exist back then. And they started there was two groups, actually. They started just trying to figure out what to do with strays in the area. They started a foster-based system. And then they realized that they were kind of both doing the same work. So they joined together and created the South Pacific County Humane Society. Didn't have a building at that point. But then they worked with the city of Long Beach and rented a little plot of land. And we built our building, our shelter building, in 1997. It's a very small shelter. If you haven't been there, you're always welcome to come over. We can give you a tour. We can house about 21-ish dogs at any given time, and somewhere in the neighborhood of about 40 cats is comfortable. It's just a very, very small building. And anyway, so they just built the building, and it's just evolved into being, as Heidi mentioned earlier, the only shelter in all of Pacific County, which people don't know is a very, very large county. So, but because of our resources and our size, we can only help South Pacific County, which is basically the Long Beach Peninsula over to Nizzell.
I was going to talk about our foster program. So as Cindy mentioned, we are a very small shelter. And over the last couple of years, we've been working really hard to build up our foster network. And basically, these are members of the community, the local community, that have agreed to bring into their homes temporarily a cat or a dog and let them stay there until they're adopted out. And if you volunteer to be a foster, the shelter provides everything. We provide the food for that animal, any medication. We obviously pay for the vet appointments as needed. And we provide supplies, bedding, leashes if it's a dog, etc. And then support. So, for example, if you're fostering but you know you're going out of town next weekend, we keep space available at the shelter for that foster dog or cat. So if they have to come back temporarily, we have a space for them. So we try to make it really easy for the fosters, because a dog is always, or cat is always, better in a home environment than a shelter. We have an awesome shelter, don't get me wrong. I mean, we have some very spoiled cats and dogs. Don't even get me talking about Bernie. But it's not home. It's not a home environment. So that's why we have one volunteer in particular who is really working hard to grow that foster network. So if you're thinking maybe of getting a dog or a cat, but not sure you want to make the commitment, maybe fostering is a good step to see if it works in for your lifestyle, and you know, if you're willing to make that commitment. So I just wanted to do a shout out to our foster program, because it is really important. So, and it also frees up a little space at the shelter, so we can help that next dog or cat that comes in. We can't say, sorry, we're full. So it's a two-prong approach, or with benefits, basically. It gets the animal out of the shelter, and then it allows us to bring in an additional animal to care for, because there's a lot of need out there. So we try to help as many dogs and cats as we can.
So since you mentioned Bernie, you want to tell her story?
Oh, Bernie. Bernie is this 100-plus-pound Mastiff diva.
And her full name is Bernie Marie,
yes,
just to be clear.
Yes. She came in as a stray.
Yes.
And she's been with us, gosh, over a year now. It's been a while. She was actually adopted out and brought back mainly because her size, and she's a strong dog. So she settled in to the shelter. She's kind of become our next mascot, if you will, of the shelter. This girl has an oversized kennel, which is great because she is such a big dog. One of the staff members went out on Marketplace, I think it was, found a toddler bed, one of those plastic, I think it's a race car bed, or maybe not, it's a race car. This dog now has unicorn sheets.
With a Tempur-Pedic mattress.
Exactly. She has twinkly lights in her kennel, as well as ivy hanging gently from the ceiling. This girl is so spoiled. So, I mean, that just shows you the care and dedication that staff and volunteers have for these animals. Mm. It is incredible to see. You know, she goes on 2 walks a day. She is a very big diva when it comes to treats. They have to be specific treats, not milk bone. They need to be the soft, delicious, whatever. But anyway, so yeah, she is kind of like our unofficial mascot. It's just really fun to see that. And just to see the love.
And one of our volunteers, she was very hard to handle on the leash when she first came in. And we've had several volunteers who have just worked tirelessly with her to take away some of that reactivity to cars. But unfortunately, we still have not been able to. She's definitely it needs a house with no other dogs and no cats, and probably no small children, because she is just a very big, strong dog. But she is the gentlest thing in a weird way to say that, but she is just, she's so sweet, and we're so we'll eventually find her a home, and we'll just keep looking until we find her the right spot.
Yeah, and all she really wants is a lap. Maybe not to sit on, but a lap that will hold her big head so you can do nothing but scratch behind her ears.
Yep.
That's all she wants. Literally, that's all she wants. So if anybody wants a Mastiff, we've got a beautiful one waiting for her home. So, and like we said, she'll be there until we find that perfect home for her.
Well, so you said you're the outgoing president.
Yeah.
And what is your role now?
Well, I'm also my primary day-to-day is I'm kind of the lead for the front desk. So I work at the front desk two days a week and sort of work with the shelter manager to kind of set the rules and regulations around how we screen applications, how we deal with members of the public, answers that we have to give to people call us with all kinds of questions. We don't have animal control on the peninsula, so a lot of people will call us saying there's a dog running loose or there's, you know, we're concerned about this animal, and we have to educate them that we're not animal control and that we don't have animal control, so they have to contact law enforcement. We do work with law enforcement as well. They do bring us strays, and we occasionally help them out in the community. Occasionally, not very often, but every once in a while we go out with them to give them guidance when they're dealing with animals who have maybe been abandoned or strayed.
Neglected.
Yeah. So that's my primary thing. And we just deal with all kinds of weird questions. People will call us and ask us what they should do about the wild bunnies in their yard. We'll be like, I don't know, just enjoy them. They're cute. They're bunnies. It's really a great way to connect with the community, and to also understand both the level of generosity that we have and the level of need that's also on the peninsula is very great. We have an amazing, amazing community that rallies. Yeah. We are actually, when I very first started volunteering, they had put out a call for paper towels. So that was over 4 years ago. We are just getting to the end of those paper towels right now. That's how many paper towels we got. So, you know, when we asked for things like laundry soap, we got like 70 tubs of laundry soap. And so the community always...
They step up
and they really rally around us. It's always just, it's very heartwarming to see how they react.
We could talk about the adoption process.
Yeah.
And how that goes if you want.
So if you go to our website, beachpets.com, and you see a dog or a cat on there that you'd like to come meet, you just would fill out the adoption application and we screen it. The front desk people screen it. We'll try to get back to you within about 48 hours. And once you're approved, we will call you to schedule a meet and greet, and you come in for dogs. We require everyone that lives in the household, as well as any other dogs that you have, to come to the meet and greet. And we do a slow introduction. If you have other dogs, we will do a slow introduction between the shelter mm-hmm. dog and your animals and the rest of the family. And we just see how things go. And with cats, you can come in and just, most people, a lot of people will just come in and do what we call a view cats, because they just want to come in and kind of hang out with the cats and see who strikes their fancy. And then we do the adoption the same day and you go home with your dog or your cat.
Yep.
And it's pretty simple. We've had people come from Bellingham, Portland, Vancouver, Seattle. Mm-hmm.
Pennsylvania.
We had one guy from Pennsylvania who was visiting the peninsula, and he saw a dog on our website that he just fell in love with, and he was in town for a week, maybe
something like that. Yeah.
And so we screened his application and he came in and adopted this dog, and the dog was off to Pittsburgh, I think it was.
I think so.
Yeah. So yeah. That was really cool.
Yeah. No, it's amazing how many people, how far some travel to come to our shelter. And it's just wonderful when we hear those stories as well, because we have such, it's nice to know we have such a far reaching effect and word of mouth that, you know, people know that we have a really good program out here. I think we've got a really good reputation in how we handle all of our animals and the love and care that we provide them. So, and then the support to our adopters as well. So we will basically bend over backwards. If, you know, if you adopt an animal from us, we will, you know, if you have questions, we'll take your questions. We'll, you know, anything. So we like to, you know, and we love the stories that we hear after the fact, after they've been settled in their home for a while. We love those pictures and the stories, because we obviously share those with all of the volunteers who made it possible. So it's really great to have that post-adoption communication with the adopters. So,
you know, one of my favorite Facebook posts that we do is when we ask people to share their adopted pets with us, and that always gets the most number of pictures, responses yeah. and pictures and likes and everything. And people just love to share their animals and their animals doing goofy stuff and just settling in, or a shy animal who maybe has blossomed in their home, which is always really gratifying. And yeah, people love to talk about their pets. That's absolutely true.
Yes, definitely.
Oh, that's great. And where do you see the shelter going in the future?
You know, we just continue to improve the programs that we have. It is a small shelter, and again, community funded. So in terms of any kind of expansion, as much as we would love to, I'm not sure that would be in our future at this time. I personally would love to see more community involvement or community outreach programs from our standpoint. I know Cindy talked about our Wags and Words program we've done with the Long Beach Elementary School now for, I think we're going, this is our second year. So I'd like to see more of that happen and more, you know, co-events, if you will, with other local businesses. So I think that's where I'm hoping that we focus on, is building some more, you know, building those ties with our community and strengthening those, and, you know, coming up with new ideas to get the word out of our, you know, about our shelter and our animals.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I can't see us expanding the building as much as wonderful as that would be.
Yeah.
But yeah, more community, just being out in the community, having them see us, having them find out how they can help us. Yep. And how we can help people that they might know too, through, again, through the community food bank or the spay neuter voucher program, which I think is huge. The people who come to get this, our low income spay neuter vouchers, are just so grateful, and we're so happy to help them, because that means they can keep their pet,
right?
And a lot of times that's the barrier to people being able to keep their animals with them, is either getting them spayed or neutered, or being able to feed them maybe for that week because their paycheck is not coming till the next week or something like that. So yeah, more programs like that would be nice too.
And more education, you know, get the word out, spay, neuter, you know, responsible pet ownership. I mean, and again, that's what we started the Wags and Words. One of the results of that we're hoping is, you know, educate the children, have a great experience for the children in the shelter, and have it be a positive experience. And then they take that forward. And I think we're seeing some of that. I know when we first kicked off this program, we heard feedback from the principal. He's also a volunteer at the shelter. The kids go home and talk about this nonstop. They look forward to this Wednesdays when they can come and participate. My husband has had a lab technician in Ocean Park talk about this, and how her son kept bothering her to make sure that she got that permission slip signed so he could participate. I mean, when you hear that, it just brings a smile. It really does. And it's so cool to see.
Thanks for listening to Beach Grassroots, a monthly podcast highlighting nonprofits of the North Oregon and South Washington coastal region. You can learn more about South Pacific County Humane Society at beachpets.com. Beach Grassroots is produced at the studios of KMUN in Astoria, Oregon, by me, Emily Horde. This production is a collaboration with the Astoria Co-op's Change for Community program. You can find out more about Change for Community and the organizations it supports at astoria.coop. Beach Grassroots airs the second Thursday of every month on KMUN and can be found wherever you find podcasts. Find out how to listen to KMUN in your area at kmun.org.